Hey, Archie? What are you doing?
I'm making spooky noises.
Dare I ask why? Or is it simply a way to ease us into this next word group, shadows and light? I'll take that as a yes. And I suppose we'll be starting with the shadows portion of the group? Well, okay then. This next group of words all have to do with some kind of darkness or lack of clarity.
They're spooky.
Right, they're spooky. And the first spooky word is...
obfuscate. Rennie was hopeful that the truth would not come out. He obfuscated for hours until he was compelled to tell the whole story.
Obfuscate literally means to darken, but it often gets used to mean to bewilder, confuse, or make unclear. Witnesses are asked to testify under oath to prevent them from obfuscating.
Which, by the way, is not something I ever understood. I mean, how is an oath going to make an obfuscator any less likely to obfuscate?
I don't know. I guess that's one for the magic leprechauns to answer.
The who?
The magic leprechauns. They know all about oaths and troths and bubbly bows.
Bubbly bows, huh? You're nutty. I'm leaving obfuscate behind and moving on to the next word, nefandous. I shuddered to think of the nefandous acts my cannibalistic neighbor was engaged in.
Nefandous means truly abominable, so awful as to be unspeakable. Looking back on this remarkable century, one is both uplifted by the many noble and extraordinary achievements of mankind and sickened by our capacity to commit the most nefandous acts. And you know who you are.
Yeah, nefandous.
That's one of them there onomatopoetic words.
How you figure, Cletus?
Well, just listen to this. Nefandous. Sure sounds like an evil word, don't it?
Let me see. Nefandous. Dag, you're right about that, Cletus. Nefandous is onomatopoetic. It sounds just like what it's supposed to mean.
Someone who is guilty of a nefandous crime, a crime so horrible it can hardly be described, might well be called a miscreant.
Yeah, miscreant. Evildoer. Bad guy.
My great Aunt Bertha has a tendency to clutch her purse and hobble just a little bit more quickly past any group of teenagers she sees. She assumes that they're all miscreants.
Now that's just not fair. She really should stop imprecating them all across the board.
That's right. There are plenty of real miscreants to imprecate.
Imprecate. Which, as you might have guessed, is our next word, smart word, means to curse.
Great Aunt Bertha makes the mistake of imprecating or cursing every group of teenagers she sees based solely on their age, not on their individual merits. The majority of them, I'm sure, are not actual miscreants. Miscreants deserve to be imprecated along with all the hooligans, hoods, hoodlums, ruffians, and rakehells.
Ooh, rakehell. Good one. That's easy enough to remember, too. In fact, the word rakehell derives from the notion that a person is so evil that you'd have to literally rake hell in order to find him or her.
That's really bad, isn't it? You'd have to rake hell to find a rake hell. I think you may have made that bit up. I'll have to ask my editor whether or not that's true.
I wouldn't if I were you. There's no quicker way I know of to turn a sunny sky into a tenebrous one than to stir up trouble in that department. Besides, it's a great mnemonic.
True, but what's with this new word? You bring him right in here like that, unannounced, no introduction. What am I supposed to think? Come, come, who is it?
Oh, sorry, this is tenebrous. He means gloomy, dark, and foreboding.
That's better. Hello, tenebrous. It's nice to meet you finally. Archie, would you please get our guest here a little something to eat, perhaps a slice of kugel, and then use him in a proper sentence?
Okay, here's your kugel. Let me see. The tenebrous clouds moving in from the east signal the coming of a particularly strong storm system. Tenebrous.
Very good. That's better. That's how we learn vocabulary in this house. Tenebrous, dark and gloomy. Good. Okay, now you two go and play outside while I look after another shadow word from the group Shadows and Light. It doesn't look the least bit tenebrous out there right now.
Okay, can I make a suggestion before tenebrous and I leave? I mean, for the next word?
Why, certainly, Archie. Which word would you like to hear?
Inscrutable, please.
Oh, very good. Inscrutable is high, high, high up on my list of best favorite words. How to begin? Well, let's just start with a basic definition.
Inscrutable means hard to understand, yielding little information, mysterious. The Sphinx, for all her power, grandeur, and beauty, is completely inscrutable. No one knows just what the heck she's thinking.
Same with the Mona Lisa, a famously inscrutable portrait. I mean, look at her. Is she smiling? Is she frowning? Is she really a woman? Who is she? I can't tell. She's inscrutable.
She's just a sad and lonely, lovely work of art. What more do you need to know?
I don't need to. It's just that her inscrutability is so fascinating to me. The less she reveals, the more I feel I must know.
Well, get a load of you acting like a man.
I also feel like we're close to finishing the shadows portion of this group.
We are but one final bon mot away from covering them all. May I have the honor?
Hit it.
Then I give you thonic, spelled, and I kid you not, C-H-T-H-O-N-I-C.
Sounds more like what a Dudley Moore character likes with his gin.
Well, the first C is silent.
And not to mention the first H.
Whatever. Thonic means having to do with the underworld, like where all the demons and gods and people who live after death hang out. The underworld. Thonic.
Henrietta was so obsessed with all things thonic that she wore nothing but black, hung heavy drapes on her windows, and performed strange rituals to summon the denizens of Hades to the floor of her bedroom.
Goth chicks of the world unite.
Goth chicks? Never mind. I'll get back to the world of Word Smart Genius 2, with you or without you, and do a review.
Lots of oohs in that sentence.
Can we just start?
Okay, I'll start. Obfuscate.
To make unclear, to bewilder or confuse.
Nefandus.
Something so horrible it cannot be spoken of.
Miscreant.
A bad guy, evildoer, general skunk.
To imprecate.
To curse.
Rakehell.
A really evil person.
Tenebrous.
Dark and gloomy, even a little spooky.
Inscrutable.
Hard to understand, unyielding of information, or mysterious.
Thonic.
Having to do with the underworld.
Well, that would be just about all of them for the shadow section. I think it's that time again, time to meet the master. Time to hear the vocab as it comes to life in the mouth of some super genius with the context to make it all sing.
Where do you come up with that stuff? Just introduce the judge.
Oh, sorry. Ladies, gents, please give a warm welcome to Justice Penelope Morgan Philo-Fallostein for the 27th Circuit Court of Upper Inner Outer Monmouth County.
Oi, hello. Oh, what a day on the bench. My buns are killing me. If I have to listen to one more lying, cheating, obfuscating son of a you-know-what sit in my courtroom and mock my legal system, I'm going to need more than your average day in the shop to unwind. Oh, the nefandous deeds these miscreants indulge in. Oh, gosh, I can't even talk about it. It gets me so mad. Where's my compact? Oh, there. These clouds are getting so tenebrous, I'm going to need a flashlight in a minute if I'm going to find anything. Oh, boy. Anyway, let me tell you about this last Rakehell the bailiff dragged in for me today. He's from somewhere I can't remember where, but his ex-wife is suing him for imprecating her following the divorce. So I says to them, if you still wanted to have sex, why'd you break up? To which his attorney, that schmuck who suddenly stops being so totally inscrutable, responds by dispensing information for free at this point. He says the guy didn't impregnate his client, he imprecated her, damning her to Hades, some such thonic place, to which I respond, I wasn't aware that the law forbade cursing people to hell. He says it's not strictly speaking, only problem is, it worked. Seems this lady's just barely managed to get back from there, and now she's suing for the price of a dye job for a badly burned hairdo. I say hair don't, but either way, the cow's got a point.
That's my kind of justice.
Lone justice, it would seem.
No justice, no pizza.
Archie?
Would you believe, no justice, no peas.
Arch.
Oh, all right, no justice, no schmustus.
Better. Now let's turn the beat around here and look at the other side of the mountain.
That's right, it's time for the light half of Shadows and Light. This ought to put us in a better mood, eh, what?
I should think so.
Shall we dance?
Do let's.
Allow me to introduce our first glamorous contestant. She's from way down south in Dixie. She's divinely bright. She's giving off light. Ladies and gentlemen, she's scintillating. Isn't she lovely?
Oh, yes, Archie. Just look how scintillating. Notice how the light seems to shine almost from within. And just look at how brilliant. My, this is a display the likes of which we haven't seen in quite some time, isn't it?
Indeed, Veronica. But that's the thing about scintillating. Time just does not seem to dim her lustrous beauty. Even when she gets applied unfairly or incorrectly, as she so often is when people are describing mood swings, napkins, or late Barbra Streisand films.
That's right, Archie. It's important to remember, even as she leaves the stage, sage that scintillating literally means to give off sparks. So be certain to use her only when you mean that something or someone is so wonderful or compelling that they appear to be doing just that.
Good point, Veronica, and allow me to say that you are positively scintillating yourself tonight. You're just giving off sparks.
Well, thank you, Archie.
No need to thank me. It's very simply the truth. Now, let's take a look at our next bright-eyed contestant, Diadem.
Oh, now here's an unfairly underrated beauty. Just look at her, will you? She's not quite as statuesque as some of our competitors, but my, who else can claim to mean a sparkling crown or tiara?
Wow, I'd hate to be around should she win tonight. Can you just imagine the sight of Diadem actually wearing a diadem? A crown with a crown would be almost more than I think these judges are willing to see.
You could be right, Archie. Because remember, as popular as Diadem is, and let's face it, every contestant wants to be wearing one, she's never actually won this contest.
That's right, Veronica. Over thousands of years, Diadem has never worn her namesake. Never. Not once. It almost seems unfair, doesn't it?
She certainly would look resplendent, though. Let's hear it for Diadem, the sparkling crown, ladies and gentlemen.
Speaking of resplendent, I have here a message from the organizers saying that Resplendent is unable to compete tonight. Apparently, although she means dazzling, gorgeous, and beautiful...
In other words, everything we love...
She has sprained her ankle on a broken heel and will have to drop out of the entire competition. Wow, that's big, Veronica. No Resplendent in competition here.
Amazing, Archie. That's really going to change things here tonight. Just imagine, no You Look Resplendent in that new gown. No Jacqueline was resplendent in pearls, fur, and an enormous flowing cape.
No, she looked twice as resplendent last year in a better dress and with a better bag. It hardly seems possible that we could go on without her, but ladies and gentlemen, we have no Resplendent in competition here tonight.
You better believe the girls are quietly cheering backstage, especially Lucent, who has lost the coveted diadem no less than 3 times in the last 5 years to none other than Resplendent.
Truly, Veronica, no one stands to gain more here tonight than does Lucent. Meaning bright, brilliant, glowing, and incandescent, Lucent has been playing the underdog here for years. But with the forfeiture of Resplendent, this just might be her big night.
Remember, Archie, when we first saw Lucent some 500 years ago? She was in that sentence, "The moon is so lucent this evening that I don't need a light by which to read."
That's right, Veronica. Lucent seemed so simple and beautiful at that time. Who could have imagined just how luminous she'd grow up to be? Now she's an honest-to-God world-class competitor, right up there with the brightest names.
And just look at her, will you? The long lines of the L, the curl of the C.
You're right about that, Veronica. Lucent has a terrific set of consonants, but frankly, I'd like to know if I can buy a vowel.
Oh, you. Well, there she goes, bright, glowing, brilliant Lucent. Now we have a new entry this year, by the way.
Yes, here she is, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Diaphanous.
Diaphanous making her first appearance on the pageant circuit this year, wearing...
Oh my God.
What is it?
My goodness, Diaphanous is wearing a see-through dress tonight.
Well, of course she is. Diaphanous, so light, so sheer, so clear, so nearly transparent.
But I can literally see through her dress. Not completely clearly, but I can see through it.
And if you couldn't, she wouldn't be diaphanous.
But, Veronica, I can see her...
Archie, that's enough now. Let's let Diaphanous exit and introduce the next contestant.
Okay, here comes lapidary, a word I'm frankly surprised was admitted.
I can see why, Archie. There's something a bit problematic about parading around the fact that one makes a living cutting and selling precious stones. I mean, how can Diadem feel with lapidary running around the same dressing area?
It is a little morbid, Veronica, but rules are rules. It's interesting to note that lapidary can be both a noun or an adjective, and I dare say that she'll earn at least a few extra bonus points during the talent competition for that.
True enough, Archie. She may be less than glamorous. She may be more substance than style. She may even be giving the truth to the lie of this whole competition. But you must hand it to lapidary. She can be either a noun or an adjective.
Just listen to her entry sentence. The aging lapidary, considered by many to be the best cutter in the whole Diamond District, was also possessed of an encyclopedic knowledge of lapidary history, science, and culture.
Wow, Archie. That's one heck of a beautiful sentence. I must say, she may be the runt to the litter, glamour-wise, but lapidary sure can turn a phrase. A noun and an adjective in one sentence.
But remember, in this round of competition, the talent phase counts for considerably less than beauty, so who knows?
Who indeed, Archie? We can only wish Lapidary the best of luck. I know she'll need it. But look, rounding out the finals are two of the venerable grand dames of the competition. Gals who, while they may have lost the bloom of youth, still exemplify all the wonder and profundity that light can represent at its best.
It says here that thaumaturgy and theodicy were hoping to enter together, but even two words as accomplished and established as these two were unable to convince the committee to bend the rules.
Thaumaturgy, by several inches the taller of the two, represents the performance of miracles and magic. She hails from the days when light and its appearance meant so much more than the mere flip of a switch that it does today.
Centuries ago, the ability to draw a spark from flint or use a lens to harness the power of the sun were considered acts of thaumaturgy.
Of course, thaumaturgy doesn't mean only miracles of light. Indeed, any miraculous or magical act can be considered thaumaturgy.
Wow, doesn't she look great? It's a little sad, though, to see the likes of a miracle worker like her fall into disrepair. Really, if any of the other girls had half an ounce of real courage, they'd turn over their crowns to the likes of thaumaturgy just for her pioneering work in the field.
And just look at Theodicy. She's like the Statue of Liberty standing on that stage. And just think of the meaning she brings to bear by just being here. A defense of God's benevolence despite the existence of evil. You hear that, Archie? Despite the existence of evil.
Well, she's got her work cut out for her, that's for sure.
It says here in her statement of purpose that she and thaumaturgy are standing together tonight as a testament to the validity of the goodness of God. She feels that pitting beautiful words against each other is giving in to the dark forces that are at work on our planet, and that only by working as collaborators can we feel God's glory in our hearts.
Well, I suppose that is a defense of God's goodness, but I, for one, rather enjoy the pageant, don't you, Veronica?
I sure do, Archie, and I am so happy to see these two up there together. I just hope the other girls can see the significance of their presence here, no matter what their religious affiliation.
And that just about rounds out the evening gown portion of the competition. We're going to get a chance to see the girls one more time before they break to prepare for the swimsuit competition.
Let's give them all just one more look for good measure. Ladies and gentlemen, a warm round of applause for all the bright, beautiful ladies of light.
They're scintillating.
She means giving off sparks, fabulous or brilliant.
Welcome, diadem.
A sparkling crown or tiara.
In absentia, resplendent.
Gorgeous, completely beautiful, perfect.
The ever hopeful, lucent.
Glowing, full of light, giving off light.
The, leaving little to the imagination, diaphanous.
Sheer, clear, almost transparent.
Hello, lapidary.
A lapidary is a diamond cutter or expert. If you love diamonds, you enjoy all lapidary things.
The noble thaumaturgy.
The performance of magic or miracles.
And finally, theodicy.
A defense of God's goodness, despite the existence of evil.
And that's just about going to do it for the light words from the group Shadows and Light.
That's right, Archie. And we certainly have had a terrific time hosting tonight's competition. We're going to say goodnight and good cheer, but before we go, we're going to turn the runway over to one of this evening's more illustrious judges who help us understand the importance of these words.
And this great event. Won't you welcome, please, the first master of ceremonies, the original lover of light, Mr. Kenneth Hampshire III.
Thank you. Thanks so very much. Really, such a pleasure. Veronica, you do, in fact, look resplendent this evening in that gown and knee brace. It's very nice to see how far our little pageant has come over the years. It began on a stormy night back in Newport when the power to our cottage was cut off by lightning. It was a scintillating burst of energy from the sky. It knocked poor Mother's diadem off her head and clear across the room. I frankly don't think she should have been wearing it around the house, but Father was such a lapidary enthusiast that he insisted she sport the diamond-encrusted tiara whenever they were together in the house. The force of its being thrown so far caused many of the jewels to scatter, which so devastated poor old Dad that he attempted to smother himself with one of Mother's finest handkerchiefs. But, dear Mother, stalwart as she ever was, pointed out that since it was of a rather diaphanous material, this handkerchief would probably do little to cut off Father's respiration, and that he should therefore reconsider. Poison would be better. Father, ever respectful, followed her wishes, and were it not for the thaumaturgical powers of our rather odd groundskeeper, Mr. Washington, Dad might have bought the farm right then and there. Washington rushed to the scene, laid hands on dear old dying Dad, and suddenly Father was as good as new. It was a miracle. Mrs. Pugh, our charwoman, of course began ranting about how she would add this night to her theodic journal, in which she is collecting anecdotes about how good things happen to bad people. As the evening drew to a close under an unnaturally lucent night sky, we all said our blessings, checked the safe to make sure the bonds were all intact, and then we slept by the light of the silvery moon.
Quite a night.
Indeed.
Let's get out of here.
Agreed. But first, a full review of all the words in the group, Shadows and Light.
Do we have to?
I'm afraid so.
Okay. Here's how it works. You'll hear each word in no particular order, followed by the sentence from the speech in which it was used in context.
It could be a shadow word or a light word. Either way, we're mixing them up.
That will give you a chance to review the word's usage and meaning on your own before you hear one final working definition. We'll go through all the words in this fashion until they've all been covered. Get it?
Got it.
Good. Let's go. We'll begin with scintillating.
It was a scintillating burst of electricity from the sky.
To scintillate is to give off sparks.
To obfuscate.
If I have to listen to one more lying, cheating, obfuscating son of a you-know-what sit in my courtroom and mock my legal system, I'm going to need more than the average day in the shop to unwind.
To obfuscate is to make unclear, to darken or confuse.
Diadem.
It knocked dear mother's diadem off her head and clear across the room.
A diadem is a sparkling crown or tiara.
Nefandus.
The nefandous deeds these miscreants indulge in. Oh, I can't even talk about it. It gets me so mad.
Nefandous is so horribly evil that it can't be talked about.
Resplendent.
Veronica, you do in fact look resplendent this evening in that gown and knee brace.
Resplendent is radiant, gleaming, gleamingly beautiful.
Miscreant.
The nefandous deeds these miscreants indulge in. Oh, I can't even talk about it. It gets me so mad.
A miscreant is an evildoer.
Lucent.
As the evening drew to a close under an unnaturally lucent night sky, we all said our blessings, checked the safe to make sure the bonds were intact, and then we slept by the light of the silvery moon.
Lucent is glowing or shining with light.
Imprecate.
He says the guy didn't impregnate his client. He imprecated her, damning her to Haiti or some such thonic place.
To imprecate is to curse or to damn someone.
Diaphanous.
But dear mother, stalwart as she ever was, pointed out that since it was of a rather diaphanous material, this handkerchief would probably do little to cut off Father's respiration, and that he should therefore reconsider.
Diaphanous, sheer or almost transparent.
Rakehell.
Anyway, let me tell you about this last rakehell the bailiff dragged in for me today.
A rakehell is a person so evil, one would have to rake hell to find them.
Lapidary.
I frankly don't think she should have been wearing it around the house, but Father was such a lapidary enthusiast, he insisted that she sport the diamond-encrusted tiara whenever they were together in the house.
A lapidary is a jewel cutter. As an adjective, it means having to do with precious stones.
Tenebrous.
These clouds are getting so tenebrous, I'm going to need a flashlight in a minute if I'm going to find anything.
Tenebrous is dark, gloomy, cast in shadow.
Thaumaturgy.
Were it not for the thaumaturgical powers of our rather odd groundskeeper, Mr. Washington, Dad might have bought the farm right then and there. It was a miracle.
Thaumaturgy is the performing of miracles.
Inscrutable.
To which her attorney, that schmuck, who suddenly stops being so totally inscrutable, responds by dispensing information for free at this point.
Inscrutable means mysterious, hard to understand, unyielding of information.
Theodicy.
Mrs. Pugh, our charwoman, of course began ranting about how she would add this night to her theodic journal, in which she's collecting anecdotes about how good things happen to bad people.
Theodicy is the defense of the benevolence of God despite the presence of Celine Dion.
Thonic.
He says the guy didn't impregnate his client, he imprecated her, damning her to Haiti or some such thonic place.
Thonic means having to do with the underworld. And that is the end of Shadows and Light.
Use the words in context whenever possible and work on mnemonic devices.
They help you remember things. That's why they're mnemonic.
听力课堂, 听class.com.